And I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 6. We'll be hearing from God's Word this afternoon. We'll continue our series through the Lord's Prayer, and our text this afternoon specifically is verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." However, I'll read a little bit more just to give us more context. Let's hear God's Word from Matthew 6 and verses 5 through 13. Let's give our attention now to God's Holy Word. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Thus far, the reading of God's Holy Word, and may He bless it to our hearts this afternoon. I also invite you to grab a copy of the Heidelberg Catechism and turn with me to Lord's Day 50. Our confessional reading this afternoon comes from Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 50, what we believe and confess based on God's Word as a church concerning the Lord's Prayer and the Fourth Petition. So let's hear what we confess now from Lord's Day 50. Question 125. What does the fourth petition mean? "Give us this day our daily bread" means provide for all our physical needs so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Therefore, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, have you ever thought about how much time we spend eating? We ordinarily take time to prepare and make three meals a day. Perhaps you ordinarily eat a quick breakfast in the morning, maybe a bowl of cereal, maybe a granola bar, maybe some instant oatmeal, a bagel, coffee, tea. But sometimes you might take 30 minutes to prepare a big breakfast, maybe once a week. Maybe you have a pancake breakfast. And I don't know about you, but I take about 10 to 15 minutes to get my lunch together. And if you have children, you have to feed them or they get all hangry, as they say. And then it takes time to eat the lunch. And then we take maybe 30 to 60 minutes to prepare dinner. And then there is the time to eat dinner. And then, of course, is all the cleanup. In between meals, we spend time snacking and quite often thinking about what we're going to eat next. And of course, there's the grocery shopping as well. And what about vacation? As comedian Jim Gaffigan puts it, really that's all vacation is, just us eating in a place we've never been. We devote so much time and energy and resources to eating, and we haven't even mentioned celebratory occasions and other occasions for eating. And I think this shows just how needy we as creatures are. It highlights the creator-creature distinction. God doesn't need to eat. God never eats. And we are utterly dependent creatures who need to eat. And we depend on God to provide food for us to eat. As Martin Luther put it, our physical needs remind us that we are but creatures composed of dirt. Our lives are frail, fragile, and wholly dependent on the goodness of God. And so Jesus teaches us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And in this petition, we transition from God's glory to man's good. Remember, the Lord's Prayer opens with an address to God as our Father who is in heaven. And then there are six petitions. The first three petitions primarily concern God's glory. And the next three petitions primarily concern man's good. And this teaches us where our priority should lie in prayer. We tend to skip over the glory of God and jump right to our needs. But Jesus teaches us the importance of praying for the glory of God's name and the coming of his kingdom, and that we and others would submit to his will. But now in this prayer, Jesus, in a sense, brings things down to earth. We just prayed for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And now we begin to petition God for our physical needs here on earth. And so let's consider what it means to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And, you know, you can learn a lot about what it means to pray this petition just by breaking it down into its parts. And so first we'll see give. In other words, we acknowledge the giver. Secondly, we'll consider us and our, where we remember others. Thirdly, we'll consider the phrases "this day," "our daily bread," as we focus on today. And then fourth, just the term "bread," where we pray for basic sustenance. And so first, notice we pray "give." And in praying "give," we acknowledge the giver. Our catechism, we confess in question 125, "Give us this day our daily bread" means provide for all our physical needs so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good. Here we learn, beloved, that God cares for our bodies. Christianity is the most body positive religion in the world. All over the place, the Bible affirms the goodness of the body. God created Adam and Eve with a human body and a human soul, and he said, "It is very good." And so man is created body and soul, and our bodies are good. Furthermore, man is redeemed body and soul. Jesus came into this world as our second Adam and final Adam and took on a real human nature. He had a human soul and he had a human body. He got hungry. He got tired. If you pricked him, he would bleed. And after fulfilling all righteousness in the body, he suffered the wrath of God and died a bodily death on the cross, and his body was buried. And was he resurrected as a soul without a body? No. He was raised from the dead bodily. And this is an essential truth of the Christian faith. Jesus said in Luke 24, verse 39, after he was raised from the dead, to his disciples, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And he even ate bread and fish with the disciples after he was resurrected. So the Bible teaches us, there's no doubt that the Bible teaches that Jesus redeems us body and soul, and that we will be resurrected body and soul when he returns. As we confess in the Apostles' Creed, "I believe the resurrection," and it doesn't just end there, "I believe the resurrection of the body." And so because God cares for our bodies, Jesus teaches us to pray to our Heavenly Father that he would provide for all of our bodily needs. And notice that we confess in our catechism that we aren't just praying for food in this petition. We are praying for God to provide for all our physical needs. That includes food, water, sleep, exercise, clothing, shelter, health, and whatever else we need for our bodies. Bread here is representative of all our bodily needs. And why do we pray for God that he would provide for all of our physical needs? Why do we pray to God that he would pray for all of our physical needs, as we confess here, so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good. In other words, in praying to God for our daily bread, we acknowledge the ultimate giver. We affirm that God is the ultimate provider, that He is the only fountain of all good, as we sing in the doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow. But, you know, this doesn't come natural for us. We live in a land of an abundance of food compared to third world countries. We have the real Canadian superstore. We have Walmart. We have Costco, where we can find abundance of food and groceries. We just walk into a grocery store and there's just tons of options to choose from. We don't worry too much about whether or not we'll have daily bread. I mean, really, when is the last time you worried that you might starve? Not even have a loaf of bread. We take it for granted so easily. And we tend to think that we did all the work to get the food on our tables. Our temptation is to forget God. The temptation is to think to ourselves, much like Nebuchadnezzar once did, look at all this kingdom that I have built. I've worked hard. I've earned the money. I've provided for myself. And in the process, to forget God as the ultimate giver of all good things. Now, in one sense, we, of course, do provide for ourselves and our families. The Bible teaches us the importance of working hard in order to eat. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. The Proverbs exhort the sluggards among us to look to the ant and learn from his hardworking ways. But we must realize that it is God who ultimately provides for us at every moment through various ordinary means. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light. That verse admits no exceptions. Every good gift comes from our Father of lights. Psalm 104, verse 27 says, all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. And so God is our ultimate provider, as that psalm declares. And God is so good that He's not only pleased to provide those things that sustain us, He's also pleased to provide us with that which makes us enjoy this life. Psalm 104, verse 14 says, you cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine and bread to strengthen man's heart. And so the food he gives us daily, it delights us. We can enjoy it. Have you ever thought about the fact that God could have given us food that tasted bland? No salt, no sugar, no spice, just bland tasting food. Kind of like just a wooden tongue depressor that you might put on your tongue when the doctor's checking your throat. I mean, it just tastes like nothing, right? He could have given us food like that. Or he could have had us take it through a tube and bypass our taste buds. Or just given us a pill to swallow. And yet God didn't do these things. He gives us food for sustenance and food that can look, taste, and smell good. He's given us taste receptors in the mouth that can sense the five taste modalities: sweetness, sourness, saltiness, bitterness, and savoriness. Praise God for His goodness for these things. God is the ultimate giver of all of these good things for which we owe Him thanks. He is the creator and sustainer of all things. And I don't care how rich you are, I don't care how much food you have in your pantry or how hard you work, if God were to decide you aren't going to eat today, then you aren't going to eat today. He ultimately gives all of us what we need. And as the Catechism puts it, neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. As Psalm 127 puts it, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor it labor in vain. Unless the Lord blesses you and blesses the food to you, it's all in vain. Furthermore, God deserves our thanks because He continues to provide for all of our needs and allows us to enjoy His good creation, even though all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Think of the goodness of God that He allows even unbelievers to enjoy His creation. Even unbelievers get to enjoy a good meal, a warm home in the winter, spring flowers, a bike ride, summer camping, Netflix, a drive-in movie theater and popcorn, Nerf guns, Legos, technology, bird watching, squirrel watching. I mentioned squirrel watching because I just watched a really cool YouTube video about squirrels. I'll have to tell you about that sometime. But squirrels, we can watch birds, we can watch squirrels. We can have cats, dogs, fishing, snorkeling. Even unbelievers can enjoy all these things. A good book and a glass of wine or backyard barbecue and craft beer. As Jesus said in Matthew 5:45, God makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust alike. This is how good our God is. And yet, unbelievers blaspheme God and worship and serve the creation. As Cornelius Van Til once put it, they are like a small child who can only slap their father's face because they are sitting on his lap. They deny his existence and don't acknowledge him, and yet they need him in order to do anything. This is the greatest injustice in the world, brothers and sisters. In the words of Reverend Zach Keel in his recent Modern Reformation article, A Biblical Theology of Justice, what is the most heinous felony perpetrated in history? It is humanity's idolatrous bigotry against the one holy and infinite triune God. So our God is so good as a creator and loves his creation so much that he shines the sun on the just and the unjust alike. He gives good things to all of his creatures. Even though we are sinners and even though unbelievers constantly blaspheme him and could care less about him. But we who are believers and are redeemed by the blood of Christ should know better. And so we are taught by our Lord to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And this teaches us to acknowledge the giver with gratitude. Well, not only do we acknowledge the giver in this prayer, we also remember others. Notice in our second point, we pray, Jesus teaches us to pray, us and our. Give us this day our daily bread. And when we pray in this way, we remember others. You remember that at the beginning of this series, I highlighted that in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us about our unity in prayer with others. And here we see that once again. Notice Jesus doesn't teach us to pray, give me this day my daily bread. Rather, he teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus wants us to remember others when we pray. He has given us a family prayer for the whole of God's people. We aren't to pray only for ourselves, but for others as well, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it makes sense to pray for our bread because it usually takes a whole community to make bread. As Jean Edward Veith puts it in his book, God at Work, he writes, God does give us our daily bread. He does it by means of the farmer who planted and harvested the grain, the baker who made the flour into bread, the person who prepared our meal. We might today add the truck drivers who hauled the produce, the factory workers in the food processing plant, the warehouse men, the wholesale distributors, the stock boys, the lady at the checkout counter. Also playing their part are the bankers, future investors, advertisers, lawyers, agricultural scientists, mechanical engineers, and every other player in the nation's economic system. All of these were instrumental in enabling you to eat your morning bagel. Wow, that's a lot of vocations mentioned there. And yet, isn't that remarkable? God uses all those as means, His ordinary means for answering our prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Remember that next time you eat your morning bagel. And so it makes sense to pray for our bread, thanking God for the hands that work to bring it to our table. But also when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we also identify with the poor, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. We live in a culture of consumption. We browse the internet dreaming about our next big purchase, and we tend to forget others who are in need. And so, as the Lord teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, let's not forget that we have brothers and sisters in Christ in Asia, Africa, the Middle East, South America, and other parts of the world that are starving, that are hungry and starving, even some to death. And it's not as though there isn't enough food in the world. The ultimate cause of world hunger is our sin and the effects of the fall. Those who are truly poor lack bread because of greed, sloth, corruption, oppression, and warfare. And so when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, let us remember those who are truly poor and are starving, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we pray, your kingdom come, let us long for the day when Christ will right every wrong and provide for his people so that they never go hungry again. And in the meantime, let us commit to sharing our bread with others in need. Let us repent of our greed and selfishness. How can we pray, give us this day our daily bread, and then close our hearts to others around us who are in need, especially our fellow Christians? As James 2 puts it, in James 2:15, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Or as John reminds us in 1 John 3, by this we know love, that he, that is Christ, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And so you see, give us this day our daily bread. It means first that we acknowledge the giver when we pray, give. We acknowledge the giver in gratitude. But then secondly, when we pray us and our, we remember others in love. And third, we pray this day, and we pray for our daily bread. And in teaching us to pray in this way, Jesus teaches us to focus on today and to trust God for tomorrow. He teaches us to focus on today. He teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, so that we don't worry about tomorrow, but focus on today. Tomorrow will worry about itself, and we need to trust God for tomorrow and focus on today. As we confess in our catechism, therefore may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. You see, this prayer is about trusting God. He will provide for us today, and he'll provide for us tomorrow. But he wants us to focus on today. This truth is illustrated in the Old Testament when the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. They had to trust God for the future and focus on today. You may remember that story from Exodus 16. After delivering the Israelites from bitter slavery in Egypt, God graciously provided daily bread for them that they called manna, which in Hebrew means, what is it? Because they didn't know what it was, so they called it, what is it, bread? And it says in Exodus 16:31, it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And it truly was daily bread. The Lord told Moses that he would provide bread from heaven with the requirement that they gather only enough to meet their needs for that day. The only exception was that they could gather a double portion on the sixth day to prevent work on the Sabbath. And it says in Exodus 16 verse 4 that the Lord did things this way in order to test them. The test was, would they trust God to prepare a table in the wilderness each and every day? Or would they turn to their own strength, their own supposed self-sufficiency, or to foreign gods? They needed to learn to trust God and to depend on Him alone for daily bread. But as we know, the people grumbled and complained. Yet God still graciously provided for them. He even gave them quail to eat, meat. Exodus 16, verse 12, I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. You see, they're being tested by God, that they would look to Him as their Lord, and God who is able to provide for them daily. And sure enough, God did provide for them daily. It says in Exodus 16, verse 13, in the evening quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. And so the people gathered the bread, and the Lord provided just the right amount for their daily needs. Imagine that, children. Imagine God miraculously giving you and your family bread from heaven every day. And children, do you know what happened if they tried to save some extra for tomorrow? Well, it says that Moses said to them, let no one leave any of it over till the morning. But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. Gross. But it was meant to teach them to trust God daily and to focus on today. God will worry about tomorrow. Focus on today and trust the Lord will provide. And that's the lesson we still need to learn today, is it not? Who here never worries about tomorrow? Who here hasn't laid in bed at night worrying about the next day? And sadly, worry can cripple us for what we need to do today. As Charles Spurgeon once put it, anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength. It's like the manna breeding worms and stinking. It spoils the strength that you need for today. Beloved, God calls you to trust Him and not be anxious about tomorrow. Cast your anxieties upon Him in prayer. And He promises to give you rest from your worries. Psalm 127, verse 2 says, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to His beloved sleep. Rest upon His mercy and grace and sovereign providence in your life. Where Jesus exhorts us not to worry, but to trust God. In Matthew 6, He says in Matthew 6, verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Those are meant to be words to comfort you and me, to give you peace, give you rest from anxiety, that you might know the peace that transcends all understanding. Your Father knows what you need, and He will take care of you. He is able to provide for all your needs, and He has promised that He will provide you with everything you need for body and soul. And so stop worrying so much about tomorrow. God gives you what you need for today, and He promises He'll take care of you tomorrow. Lamentations 3, verse 22 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Let us trust that promise today and forever. And so praying, give us this day our daily bread, means first, give. We acknowledge the giver with gratitude. Second, us. We remember others in love. Third, this day, daily bread. We focus on today and trust God for tomorrow. And fourth, bread. We pray for basic sustenance. In this prayer, we aren't asking God for a life of luxury. Our problem is that too often we come to God with our greeds rather than our needs. We tend to pray for everything we really want rather than everything we truly need. And then we are discontent when we don't get what we desire, even though God hasn't promised us those things. Here Jesus teaches us to be content with what we have and to trust that God will provide for our basic sustenance. As we confess in our catechism question answer 125, we pray, provide for all our physical needs. All of our physical needs. Or as the Westminster Shorter Catechism puts it, in the fourth petition, we pray that of God's free gift, we may receive a competent portion of the good things of this life and enjoy His blessing with them. It's that simple. We don't pray for too much or too little. We pray for a competent portion of what we need and that we might enjoy God's blessing with that portion. As 1 Timothy 1 verse 6 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content." And so let us learn contentment in God, in His provision for our lives, when we pray this prayer. I realize that's not easy. It's easier said than done. But the way to fight against discontentment is to trust God's provision and to remember all that He has provided for us in Christ. In Christ, we are rich beyond all measure. We have a glorious inheritance that awaits us in the new heavens and new earth, where neither moth nor rust destroy, nor thieves break in and steal. And we have done everything to forfeit His blessing and to deserve His wrath because of our sins. And yet He did not spare His only Son, but gave Him up for us on the cross to redeem us as His own beloved children. And so how will He not also with Christ graciously give us all things necessary for body and soul? And so as we pray for our daily bread, let us also remember that God has already provided for us the eternal bread of life in Jesus Christ. As John 6:47 puts it, our Lord says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." You see, beloved, Jesus is the one who deserved that all of His needs be met and to have all the luxuries of the world on top of it. And yet He gave His life for us so that we wouldn't have to worry whether our God loves us and will provide for us all that we need for body and soul in this life and in the life to come. Martin Luther has a wonderful table prayer for children that keeps this truth before us at our mealtimes. You can find it in our Forms and Prayers book, a table prayer for children, a children's prayer before meals. And it goes like this: "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. May our souls by you be fed ever on the living bread." And that is so simple, yet so profound. And so is praying, "Give us this day, our daily bread." Because in this prayer, Jesus teaches us that when we pray this prayer, we acknowledge the giver with gratitude, and that we remember others in love, and that we focus on today and trust God for the future. And we pray for our basic sustenance with contentment in God and in His providence and contentment in the inheritance that awaits us in Christ, the glories of the age to come. And all the sufferings of this world are nothing compared to the glory that awaits us. And so let us look to Jesus by faith for eternal life and be nourished daily on not only the bread that God provides for us as He provides for our physical needs, but also let us be nourished daily on God's word. For man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And let us trust God for our daily bread. Let us acknowledge our dependence on God and thank Him daily for His good gifts. And let us love others as God first loved us. And at the end of the day, let us rest in this promise from Philippians 4, verse 19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen.